Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 8 through 12. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who lives to stand by us, dear fellow redeemed in his precious blood. It didn't happen to me. It wasn't my money. But I was there when the deal went down. I was working for Atlas Van Lines at the time, and my boss and I were sitting in a truck at a truck stop in Louisiana when a man knocked on the driver's side door of the truck. My boss opened the door and asked what the man wanted. The man said that he had a bunch of TVs with built-in VCRs in his truck, and he was trying to sell them for $100 a piece. This was in 1989. He wanted to know if we were interested. So my boss dug into his wallet and came up with $100. The man took the money, thanked him, and said he'd be right back with the TV VCR. He disappeared in the hundreds of trucks in the lot and never returned, not with the $100 and not with the fabled TV VCR. It's a general rule of thumb when purchasing something that if the deal seems too good to be true, and it probably is. If you find a new $20,000 vehicle for $200, then chances are there must be something missing or something very wrong with it. Perhaps it doesn't have an engine. If someone knocks on your door and offers to sell you a $1,000 TV for $50, then you should be skeptical. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. This morning we'll ask again what the resurrection of Jesus meant to those who first heard the news. Last week we learned that in the eyes of the Roman soldiers, it was a sensitive problem, the resurrection, to be quietly reported. In the eyes of the religious leaders of the Jews, it was something to be covered up, something to be denied. What was the resurrection of Jesus to the women who first found the tomb empty? And what did the resurrection mean to the disciples of Jesus when they first heard the news? Is the resurrection of Jesus too good to be true? May God the Holy Spirit strengthen our faith in Christ and in the power of his resurrection through these words. Amen. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Do you have trouble remembering things? You ever get up from your chair in one room and walk into the other and be unable to remember what it was you got up for? You find it easy to remember some of the most useless bit of trivia, but for some reason are unable to remember the birthdays of your children. We aren't the only ones who forget. Jesus told his disciples beforehand on a number of occasions exactly what was going to happen, but it seems as if they simply forgot. When we're told here that they remembered his words, it wasn't the apostles that remembered, the 11 remaining disciples, but it was the women who had been reminded by an angel inside of the empty tomb. They are simply called the women, and we know only a few of them by name: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, who is also called Salome. These three women were the chief women of a larger group who followed Jesus and supported him from their substance from Galilee to Jerusalem. They're referred to like this: "And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance." We may not know all of them by name, but we do know what they planned to do that early Sunday morning. They planned to finish the embalming process of Jesus' body. Some of them had been there when he was laid to rest, and they were concerned as they arrived about removing the stone, until they found it had already been rolled away. It seems that Mary Magdalene didn't immediately go into the tomb and didn't see the two angels. Instead, she went to find Peter and John. The other women went into the tomb, and there they saw two angels who spoke to them. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." It was when the angel reminded them that they remembered what Jesus had said on more than one occasion. And then they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. What was the message of the resurrection to those women? It was a message to be told, one to be repeated again and again. In fact, the original language indicates that they repeatedly told the disciples, one after another. And they didn't just stop with the disciples either. They sought out and told the rest as well. Well, what did they tell them? Well, they didn't just relate the simple facts that they had gone to the tomb, found the stone rolled away, and found two angels inside who said that Jesus was alive. They also reminded the rest of what Jesus had said. You know, what they now remembered. They didn't just mumble a few words to the apostles and then go back and sit in the corner. It doesn't even appear that they were afraid. These women were among the first to truly proclaim the good news of the resurrection. And Jesus' resurrection was to them a message to be repeatedly told, despite the unbelief of those who heard. The good news that Jesus is arisen should be the same for us, something to be repeatedly told. And we don't just stop with the basic, "Jesus lives." But like those women, should also direct people to Jesus' promises, those that he made beforehand. It's amazing enough that Jesus rose from the dead, but the fact that he said he would beforehand on numerous occasions confirms to us that we need not doubt or wonder about any of his promises. The resurrection confirms everyone to be as good as gold. So let's learn from the example of the women and not wait, but hurry to bring the news to others. We don't know how long it will be before the Lord Jesus returns. We don't know how long we have. But we do know that those who don't know Jesus and his resurrection will face eternity in their sins. This isn't something that can afford to wait. We can't afford to sit on our hands and assume that people know what Jesus' resurrection means. We can't afford to sit on our hands and wait for them to come to us and ask us what it is we believe. We have to seek them out, as the women did. And the fact that some don't believe it should not hinder us from repeating the message again and again. Which brings us to the second group of people. How did the apostles receive the message of the resurrection? Not as we might expect. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. If your car is making a funny sound, you might want to take it to a mechanic who, we hope, will listen to the sound and figure out what's wrong, right? In a similar way, we might expect that the disciples, those men who had walked with Jesus for 3 years and who had heard all of his promises, would certainly be able to put Jesus' promises and the circumstances together and understand that Jesus had done exactly what he said he would do. Certainly they wouldn't be like the religious leaders of the Jews, silence the women or at least ignore them, would they? Well, you heard what the scripture says. The message of the women seemed to them at first like idle tales, and they would not believe him. In fact, the word translated idle tales is actually a medical term, often used to describe the babblings of a feverish patient or an insane patient. Plug that in now. In the ears of the disciples, the words of the women were like a feverish patient or a crazy person. Even though the women repeatedly told them what they saw, what the angel said, they did not believe them. What was the message of the resurrection to the apostles at first? Well, something that was too good to be true. Now, we might be inclined to cut the disciples some slack. After all, we know that we aren't told these things so that we look down our noses at them and imagine proudly that we would have reacted differently. I mean, after all, it's not like people rise from the dead every day. We might be inclined to cut those disciples some slack because we ourselves, on occasion, have, in our own minds, doubted God's word. Nobody's perfect, right? At least Peter went and checked it out. But we need to see the disciples' doubt for what it is: sinful weakness. When Jesus walked with the Emmaus disciples later on that first Easter day, he didn't cut them slack. He rebuked them gently, saying, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" It would have been one thing if they simply didn't remember Jesus' words, but the fact that the prophets foretold the resurrection of the Christ should have been something they didn't forget, something that they put to mind and put to memory. We also sin when we do not take God at his word, when we doubt or question his promises. The scriptures here indicate that even Peter was slow to believe. In his mind, the resurrection warranted some further investigation, and marveling to himself, he went away. Didn't connect the dots, didn't return to defend the women. He didn't believe at first and rejoice, but wondered, "I wonder what this means." Even seeing the linen cloth carefully set aside, showing no hurried departure, only raised for him more questions, rather than lead him to the conclusion that was already foretold in black and white in God's word. May the reaction of the disciples stand to us as a warning not to doubt the word of God. God, forgive us for Jesus' sake when we do. And may he move us to rejoice in the truth and never consider it to be too good to be true. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.